as he moved, this is the point, I saw that quickly run. You know. Now you leave that kind of setting. You now come out. Listen, you don't need anybody to preach tithing to you. What's wrong with you? Every month you will take some of the money that they are giving, even as Alawi. You will go back. Guys, you share something with them. They will gladly receive it. This day, every student has a phone, even if it's a Nokia 1001, you know, whatever it is. Thank God for MTN, buy and share. You get my point? Take 10 of their phone numbers, buy 1,000 Naira card, and push 100 Naira to each person. You will live long that way. The amount of prayers that will just be waking you up every day. When God, in the morning like this, God is about to start blessing people, there will be 20 people queuing up to bless only you. Listen, if you live like that, and a man starts preaching 10%, you will wonder, oh God, we cross. That one is the one that goes to campus fellowship. The word that I'm participating in the propagation thereof, another one goes there. Oh, I come from a home. I have friends, I have parents, I have siblings, brothers and sisters. By the time you finish putting everything together, bros, it's good when God has taught you that material things don't matter. You won't be in a hurry to buy a car because the money won't be enough. You won't be in a hurry to be amassing material things because the money will not be enough. Then nobody can come and, you know, I see, you know, anyway, let me not sit on that matter. Sometimes I see preachers want to just come and harass people because this one is a work of God. I tell myself, I say, okay, since last year, have I been serving the devil? Let me think about it. Oga, no. You will tell God, as this one was going on, my money is there. I say, God, he knows there are at least 1,000 other places that are equally important. And for information, the old man I gave money on the road 2 days ago also, you don't, what, that's why I read that scripture, not that other scripture we read. That Matthew 25. Let me, in fact, I almost forgot it. That one is supposed to illustrate to us what God is talking about. There are those who think that Christianity is that fasting thing. Like I say, you know, I'm using that fast as a type now. So what do? When we see a special project, we jump at it. Because this is the work of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is the interesting part. Let me say this to you clearly. The things that God will judge you by when he wants to promote you in life are those things that you did not know they were him when you were doing them. Look, let me tell you the truth. The main thing that God will use to judge whether you are good or bad, you did not even know God was there. That's why I read that Matthew 25. The people, the righteous people of God, not the wicked ones, the righteous ones, God said, welcome, welcome. You really took care of me. He said, Master, you? Even they were wondering when they did anything for him. They said, when did we see you hungry and we gave you food? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That the very time that God was judging what he would do for them as judgment, good things I would do for them, they did not even know they were doing anything. That's why I said that once you can open your mouth and tell God, I did this so you will bless me, you've already killed the potency of that good work. Let me say it again. The moment you can point to something and claim that this is the reason God must bless you, you have just killed the potency. You have. That's why I say all the time, Christians, learn to do what is that which is right. And do it continually. That's why I preach the message, the switch of God's power. I summarized after talking for an hour. I said, this is the summary. It is a continual doing of good works. He says, sow your seed in the morning and at night, don't hold back your hands. Because you don't know which one will prosper. Or whether both of them are like we do well. Say, you don't know. That's a statement of fact. You don't know. That's why I was there, so then one man was preaching. He said, when he wants to pray, just tell God, you know this building, my money is there. You know this building, my money is there. This church work, my money is there. This one, my money is there. I often say, bros, come. I know you're a preacher. You may even have tied to bishop, whatever it is. Come and sit down. Let me instruct you. Once you open your mouth and say it, it doesn't have any effect anymore. This is the interesting part. The one that God will also use to condemn you, you don't know when it happened. You know, when God and Job were going to discuss, Job's talking about all the good things he did. I never did anything wrong. When God was going to answer, God said, can you create a star? That his inability to create a star is cause for judgment. When I was making this particular animal, Leviathan, where were you? So any man who does not understand how to make Leviathan is in trouble. Can you set boundary for the ocean? So if you don't know how to stop erosion, you know, garbage, you're gone. See what I'm saying? What's that God saying? Bible says that God does this thing so that all men may fear before him. So when you come, you say, God, you know, I can't do anything. I've only done the one that I felt I could do. And so we're not going to count that. There are many other things I'm supposed to do I have not yet done. So I'm not approaching you based on anything that I have done. I've just come by the power of the mercy that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let us talk. Listen, you see, you have to be careful. Don't put yourself in trouble. Because once you go to God and start counting good works, good works, good works, good works, then God will stand on the other side and start telling you the ones you did not do and you don't know how to do. Because those who God judged, he said to them, when I was hungry, you did not help me with food. And they said, no, say it. Say the day you came. Say it now. Let there be a judge between us, oh, like Job will say. Tell us the day you came, or the whole universe here, or he's accusing me falsely so he can throw me to hellfire. Give a dog a bad name so you can hang it. Go ahead now. Like, you know, that's what Job was saying to God. He said, go ahead now. You know you are the judge of the universe. Nobody can answer you. But if only there was another judge, you would tell me what I did that was wrong. That's what Job was raking and raking about. And when God was going to answer, God just said, look at this boy. Can you make an atom? Saying no. After when he finished, you know, there's a story I like to tell about Meltari in The Gentle Breeze of Jesus. How he was accusing one sister before God, how God shouldn't use her because she's proud. How God couldn't use that woman because of the things she's doing wrongly. And then when he finished praying, because the lady was proud, you know, God had used her to raise 3 dead people or so. I know Americans, they know how to make a show of everything. They want to carry this poor girl from Indonesia. They want to carry her to America to go and show how this young woman, you know, be on TBN, you know. She raised 3 dead people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They'll be interviewing her as if it's by any work on her part. So she too was getting carried away. So she was going around bragging. Have you heard? I'm going to America. My visa is ready. What do you have for? You know, it's just 3 dead people. You know, those people that died. And I pray for them like this. Anointing of the Holy Ghost. You to wake up from the dead. So now I'm going to America to teach them how to raise the dead. And a senior brother who was not senior enough in the eyes of God was very angry. So he went and knelt down to pray and said, dear Lord, why are you doing this? See, this sister, she's very proud. She's this. Why are you using her? Small use you use her and so see. We know they hear again. Why don't you just transfer that power to that other sister? Elderly woman, very nice, gentle, holy, righteous. Won't hurt a fly. That would have been better. When he finished praying, the Holy Spirit descended and began to answer him. He suddenly had a vision. In the vision, he saw an orchard, all right? Apples. And he saw a man and his son. The man owned the plantation. So they were walking between the trees. And the man was proudly showing off the trees to his son. He now asked his son, what do you think of the trees? The boy looked and said, dad, I think they are useless trees. The man said, why? He said, look at this fruit on them. They are small and green. Real apple trees will have fat fruits, all right, that will be red. These ones are just tiny, tiny, small ones and green. And the man tapped the boy on the shoulder, said, don't worry. The fruit is just appearing. It will grow. It will become fat. It will become ripe. As soon as the vision ended, he got the point. That the person and the Lord told him, the person you have seen, is just young. The fruit is still small. She will grow and she will become ripe. He said, as for that old woman you're talking about, one of the most stubborn children that I have. Now let's talk, she knows the talk. No, God told him this. That woman is stubborn, difficult to correct. Because she doesn't talk, you think she's nice. Said, that one, I've given up. This girl, the guy, when the vision was through, he came down from the bed where he was lying down, crawled under it, and slept there. He felt so ashamed of himself. Earlier, he had gone to God praying, like he knew everything. What am I saying? That's how we behave sometimes when we approach God. We come counting things we think we know. And that's the problem. We have compartmentalized life. There's something Wale Oke said years ago, which I've never forgotten. He said, those that do things that count, never stop to count them. The things you can't, listen. Continue good work, so. Amen. I'm just letting you know that the day God will show up, you won't even be actively trying to please him. I hope you heard what I said. Listen. You have given $1 million to ministry. Amen. It's good. But the day God wants to count, it is 1,225 naira change that you left for one girl hawking. Because you just felt in your body that why is this small girl punishing herself like this? So you paid her with 500 naira, something you just said, leave the change. But when you were doing it, what you were thinking of, there was compassion that just arose in you for that young girl. But you know the interesting part? You don't remember. To you, it's nothing. After all, you're a million naira man. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God says, listen, your 1 million naira was motivated by plenty talk. Or it was motivated by God. I'm going to sow a dangerous seed. And heavens will open. I know there's what they call heaven opening seed. You've not seen that one before? So you did it thinking you were opening the heavens. God said, it's not bad. It's good. Are you getting my point? Except I didn't count it. The day you dropped that 500 naira, it was only 600 you had. And you gave it to an old man at 11 p.m. because you couldn't imagine this man being out here at this time without money to get home. It was the day you trekked home after paying a taxi, which you allow somebody else to enter. That's the one I will count. But there are men who never do it. They never give an offering except somebody's on their necks, promising heaven and earth. They never give an offering except they have tied a name to it. This offering is for my 25 hectares of land. No. They never do it. So when God comes at 11 p.m., he shows up as an old man. Say, my son, please, how do I get from here to Asata? And you finish describing. Say, is it a trekkable distance? And the man, and you say, why do you want to trek it? Hey, my son, don't worry. You want to trek it, you come down from the taxi and tell the taxi man, I paid it. Okay, please take this man to where he's going. That's what you'll have done. But that day you look and say, old man, don't mind him. I wonder what he did with his youth. Now he's suffering. You close the door and you drive away. The next Sunday you show up with an offering. Who will give $1 million? I will wash your hand in oil. A man of God, here I am. And the angel said, God doesn't come to church. You know, I've told you before. God knows they go to church. You didn't know? God is not a Christian. I hope you know that. Yeah, he's not a Christian. Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was Jesus Christ. It is those of us following him that are Christians. Are you following my point? So, he doesn't go to church. He goes to his throne. I wish you get my point. The church had better come to the throne. There are churches that don't come to the throne. Marketplaces. You understand what I'm saying? No, there was a temple. God don't come. Jesus vexed. Drive everybody away. Because the temple was no longer reaching the throne. It was reaching the center of Babylon, commerce. God doesn't go to church. The church had better go to God. I don't know what I get on trying to say. Some people appear thinking that, yes, this offering, this one is just God. And God says, I didn't come that day. Say, Lord, I gave $1 million to us. He said, God, which day? He said, so day. He said, Gabriel, were they here that day? He said, no, we didn't come here. We thought you came to church. They go, they go to church. I don't know. Now, you understand what I've said by all the things I've said? You understand the principle? That is, the time you will be in the presence of God It's not that time you were worshiping. Oh, Father, we just worship you. Oh, and your pastor comes and says, I feel the presence of God here. No, he's emotionally enraptured in the mood. He's good. It's not the presence of God. How do I know? Because those who experienced the presence of God did not even know that God came. Because the day God said, let me reward you, they said, when did you come? Say, remember that one, that young lady, that small girl, and that day. And you helped her. I said, that was me. Ah! Oh, God, you are dangerous, so. He said, don't worry. I know if I show up in my true glory, the stingiest of you all will give the last naira he has. So I don't do that. You see what I call the fasted life now? You see what I call the fasted life? That we do Christianity every day. We don't compartmentalize into the day of fasting. If anything is wrong, we take our hands away from it. If it is right, we imbibe, hold it tight, and we work on it every day. Since I use the title fasted, let me just speak generally about it again. What is the role of fasting? Because you tell me that after all, the Bible says that as a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, yes, that is true. And I said it earlier. This is the issue. There are times regularly, every believer should set out time to meditate, all right? And to contemplate the goodness of God. And to, like we talked the other time, meditate on his word. Take that word and declare it. Now listen to me. At such times, everything is a distraction. Visitors are distractions. It's not only food. Hunger is only important in that food can be a distraction. That's what I'm trying to explain. Yes, we must take time out in fellowship to worship. At such times, you take away every distraction from the midst of us. That is what the Bible meant when it said they ministered to God and fasted in the book of Acts. Literally, what he meant was that they were ministering to God. And of course, how do they do that? Ministering to one another, singing songs of praise, sharing the word of God. And it's the time for eating came. And they refused to interrupt the meeting because they were doing something important. So the time for eating passed. It didn't mean they declared a 1 year fast. I hope you've gotten my point. I've said many things. What I've just tried to say in all of it is simple. Our Christianity must be part of every fiber of our being and every second of our lives. It's not something we do at certain times. You can't be a Christian in church and not be a Christian at work. When I start talking about how to preach the gospel, you will discover that your working place is the first place you reflect through Christianity. I've had testimonies before about the lives of people who claim to be believers. Some of them are very good friends. And if people are talking to them, say, if that man is the only reason why people go to church, I will never go there. And they are not talking about he's holy and he's making us feel unholy. No. They mean how he talks, how he relates to other people. I've worked in a place with somebody before, very religious, but everybody has an agreement on his character. He does not delight in the progress of anybody. No matter how religious you are, if that's your testimony, you are a bad representation of what Christ is. Now listen, it's a unanimous testimony, the person I'm talking about. Everybody agreed, including me preaching to you, that this man is sad when somebody makes progress. No matter how religious you are, you are a bad representation of who Christ Jesus is. In fact, there are those that have ensured that it's harder to win people to Christ than it was before the people met them. Because before they were hearing on the road this, give your life to Christ or you perish. Then they came to your office and saw wickedness personified, jealousy personified, anger personified, stinginess personified. You can give offering in church, but nobody waited in your church, in your office that you attended or gave money to. But in church, Abraham's blessings are mine. You give your heart. You say, hey, God, this is for you. My offering basket. But you go to work. You heard that one of your staff. You know how much he or she earns. The son had an accident last week. They did not plan for it. The young boy was crossing the road. The car broke his leg. The driver ran away. and you couldn't visit. And as you are leaving, you say, "Oh, okay, I know this is costing you money. Here is 5,000 naira." They have never seen you do it. Oh. Never. Nobody has ever seen you do that. Then when you are finished, then one day you now come. Like one governor, if you know who I'm talking about, you now go to the market and be preaching. There's one governor somewhere around who used to do that. Criminal. Killing people. Refusing to pay salaries. Then you now go to the market. Let me not mention the name of the town. And start preaching the gospel. That is, the wicked people there just got more wicked. Yes, it's true. Because if these are going to meet in church, we know they go. After all, like one man, as another man, I heard his testimony. He saw a friend of his. And I want to say, "Praise God, amen, brother. Hey, how are you?" He called another person and said, "This is the kind of thing that I hate. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I smoke, I drink, I womanize. Those are the characters of sinnerness in our modern day." You like my English, sinnerness. Those are the characters of a sinner these days. He said, "What I don't like is hypocrisy." He said, "Sinner." He said, "What I hate is hypocrisy. See, look at this boy doing here. Yeah, praise God, praise God. I know him. He's a man like me. Except that me, I won't lie about it. Look at him." Hey, I was ashamed when I heard the testimony. After that, look, you know, there's a God on the church. He knows. See, your woman come, "Pastor, Papa, hey, well done, sir. Papa, well done, sir." Then when the husband come, say, "John, I better come off the road." Hey, yeah. If you greet me in a way you don't greet Rocket, me and you will have problems. I'm serious. If you genuflect to greet me, then I'm going to observe when Rocket they pass. If you just knock his head, "Hey, small husband, how are you?" "Ah, I will." Don't let her come for Bible study again. I will tell him to bang you at the door. If he says, "Oh, no, me, I don't care." Say, wait. "I'm going to have problems." If I don't, what I'm trying to say is that we think that, man of God, God is inside him. There are the place where God resides in your life. First, he said, I used to tell my husband, my wife all the time. I said, "You know, I'm your husband. I'm your prophet. I'm your priest. If you go to all men of God in this life, they can bless you all you want. If I say, no blessing, oh, Barry, she cannot, it has died. Let Archbishop, Archbishop, the author of those days, yes. Assume he left the bottle of oil behind. Mix it with Bishop Oyedepo's W.F. Kumuyi, A.I. Deboye. They mixed it, baked it, heated it very well. Make sure the anointing was hot. And they are pointing, and you're just, I blow like this. The whole thing will just, cool. Because when God is checking distance, I'm closer to you than they are. You know why? God doesn't go to church. That's what I'm trying to say. When he wants to check how people are behaving, he goes home. He goes to their workplaces. That's what he does. That's where he starts from. Therefore, we must not let our Christianity be a day of a fast. Our lives must be fasted all the time. I hope you've gotten my point. Okay, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks.